been serving there for just shy of 15 years. And we thank you for your part in the work that we have there in country. Sorry, my wife could not be here. Her physical health did not allow it. That's why I'm running a little late. But I hope you guys understand that. If you have your Bible, please turn to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter number 3. You can sit because I'll talk a little before I get into it. But I just want you to have that. The second hour, we'll share more about what God is doing in Venezuela and how you guys in particular have helped the work there. But we're so thankful for churches like this one who are faithful in praying and who are faithful in giving. Letters will tell you something, but sitting down with a missionary will tell you a lot more. There's things that we don't share in the letters that go on, but that we are still thankful for the fact that you guys have been involved in. If you have your Bible there in 1 Samuel, for the sake of time, we're going to skip around here, but we know this is a passage where Hannah has prayed, she has been given a child, she has brought it back to the Lord, and he is there growing up in the temple. And the Bible says, in verse number 2, it says this, "And it came to pass at the time when Elijah was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see." Is that what I'm looking for? Verse 4 says that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And man, would it not be nice that we have a tender heart that when someone calls, we say, "Here I am." I remember there was a rule when I was at Grandpa's house that when he called, you answered. And he said, "Hector, señor, sir." I didn't know what he wanted. I wasn't sure where in the house he was, but when I heard my name, I had to at least answer, "Sir," and then get to him as quickly as possible, or I would be in grave danger. Let's just put it that way. Man, would we not have that heart when we hear the voice of the Lord calling that we say, "Here am I, Lord. What is it that you need from me? What is it that you want to give to me? Instructions or correction?" Let me repeat that. Instructions or correction. Sometimes we say, "Here I am, Lord, when you want me to do something, but I'm not here when you want to correct me." You know, remember in the book of Genesis, after Adam and Eve had eaten of the fruit, and the Lord was looking for Adam and Eve, and they were hiding. And they didn't want to hear the correction they were about to get. So they didn't want to say, "Here I am, Lord." They were hiding from the Lord. But he calls out and he responds, "Here am I." And he goes to Eli, and Eli says, "Hey man, it wasn't me. Go back to sleep." And the Bible in verse number 6 again says, "And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here am I, for thou didst call me.' And he answered, 'I called not, my son. Lie down again.'" Verse 7, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him." Verse 8, "And the Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here am I, for thou didst call me.'" Do you imagine how both of these guys are feeling right about now? Samuel, bewildered, "I'm trying to go to bed." He's a young lad. And then hearing somebody calling his name, and the only one that can come to mind that would call his name would be Eli, the guy that's in charge of him, and him running to him in the middle of the night, said, "Hey, Eli, what is it you need from me?" And Eli, an older man, being like, "Oh, not again. I am trying to sleep, kid. It is not me." But at least he was wise enough to give him directions on who it might be. He didn't say, "Oh, you had too many pieces of pizza late at night. You're dreaming. You're hallucinating." No, he gave him at least some instructions on who it might be. In verse number 9, it says, "Therefore Eli said, unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for how good you are to us. I pray that you give me clarity of thought. Give me the opportunity to just share your word, Lord, that it may be a clear message, that it may encourage those that are present, Lord. And just pray that you take control of all that is going on this morning. And it is in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Are you guys getting the picture of what's going on? The man of God said, hey, it's not me. You know, I got an inkling that God wants to talk to you, son. He's trying to get a hold of you. He's called you 3 times already. He's got a message for you. So pay attention. If you hear the voice, don't come running back to me. Say, Lord, thy servant heareth. What is it you want me to do? And it's interesting. He said, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. He was saying, hey, I am here and I want to serve you. Whatever it is you want for me, I will be ready to do. What's up? You know, nowadays it's this, yes, we have a relationship with God. Yes, we have the right to go before God, but we cannot forget that He is God. Amen. It's like, yo, Father, what's up there? You know, what do you need from me? No, it wasn't like that. It was like, Lord, I am your servant. I am nothing. I am beneath you. What is it that you want and need from me? I am here to do your bidding. And then obviously he gives him instructions, not too great instructions, to tell Eli that his sons were doing wrong and he had to go before him. He had to give him a message. Imagine being a young lad going to the person that's above you and saying, God's not real happy with you or your kids. I can't imagine that was a real fun time. I imagine this kid being like, oh man, what am I going to do? How am I going to do this? But he realized if this is what God told him, this is what he had to say. And folks, when God gives us a message, we need to proclaim it, even if it makes us uncomfortable and even if it makes them uncomfortable, because it is the truth and it is our job. Amen. We don't need to sugarcoat it or make things up. We just need to give others what God has given us. We are just vessels of his message to get across, folks. And we need to understand this, but the voice or the title of the message is His Voice. It is interesting how sometimes people, I think most of this group will understand, how many of you have ever received a call and you picked up the phone and you didn't know who it was because you didn't have caller ID? And you had to pay attention to who was speaking on the other line so you can kind of figure out who is calling me. And then you're going through your mind and this person begins to talk to you like they know you. And I'm like, I have no idea who you are. And then it's like, oh, they say something and you get it. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, I know who you are now. Has that happened? You know, isn't it much better when you pick up the phone and you hear that voice and you recognize it immediately? It feels good. It's a calming. Or sometimes it's nerve-wracking. You know, why is he calling me? I remember when I was in the dorm, I didn't have a cell phone my freshman year. My dad's name's Pedro. My wife's name, my wife's dad's name is Pedro. And I remember somebody said, hey, Hector, you got a phone call on the payphone. And I went to the payphone. I said, who is it? Some guy named Pedro. And I was about to say, Dad. And something inside of me said, don't say it. And I said, hello? And I heard the voice. I'm like, that's not Dad. I said, who is this? Like, Pedro. I said, yes. He says, Erica's dad. I said, oh, hey, how's it going? And we were just getting to know each other. We were definitely not at the point where I called him Dad. That would have not been good. But it's important that we pay attention to see who is talking to us. Because if we listen to the wrong voice, we get in trouble. But I have here, His voice is powerful. We see in Genesis God spake and it was created. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we see that he spoke and the storm was still. His voice had power over creation. We see in John chapter 11 that his voice had power over death. We see that in John 19, we see that his voice showed us when his job, when the Bible says, it is finished. He said, his voice was powerful. And we need to, folks, be able to recognize the voice of the Lord or we will get in trouble. Today, too many people, young and old, are going astray from the word of the Lord because they have a lack of ability to recognize the true word of God. And they hear a voice that sounds like God, and they go that way, and they end up where they shouldn't be, folks. And the first thing we need to understand, and I understand this is a Sunday morning crowd, but it is a valid a point to make. We need to make sure to be able to hear the voice of God and to know the voice of God. We need to first know Him. We need to know Him. When someone calls, I don't recognize this voice. I don't believe I know this person on the other line. And we start talking, oh, I don't know him. But if we know them, we've met with them, we've talked with them, it's easier to identify. It's easier to pick up on who it is that is talking to us. And folks, if you're here and you don't know him, I want to encourage you to know him today. You say, Brother Hector, I've been in church for a long time. Well, good for you. I was in church for a couple years before I realized I was lost and on my way to hell. You see, I thought I got saved when I heard a message on hell, and I said, I don't want to go there. And I was already scared because they had talked to me about hell, and then they sent me to the principal's office because I was in sixth grade in a Christian school. And I said, I really don't want to go to the principal's office, and I definitely don't want to go to hell. I'm going to be honest, I kind of blacked out there. I was sitting there, I know he was talking, but all I got was at the end when he said, if you don't want to go to hell, pray after me. I said, that's where I don't want to go, that's what I'm going to do. And so I prayed. And when we moved from Ahwatukee here, just a couple miles down the road, and moved over to Tampa, Florida, and when I got into the Christian school there, anybody asked me, Hector, are you saved? I said, yeah. I said a prayer. Good. And then I was a good kid. I was a preacher boy. I was going soul winning. I'm good. But then one of my friends got saved, and I realized, you know what? He knows where he's going, and here I am struggling with an internal fight. Where am I going to go? And I said, I don't have to have this inner doubt. I can get this settled. And I went to my youth pastor, talked to him, and I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I knew what to do. I had been telling other people what they needed to do, but I hadn't done it myself. What I'm trying to get at, folks, is it doesn't matter if you've been here a while. It doesn't matter if you've been here a short while. If you haven't accepted Him as your personal Savior, your destination is hell. And you just know about Him, but you don't know Him. Let me ask a question. How many of you know who the president-elect is? How many of you know who is it? Trump. Now, let me ask you this. How many of you know president-elect Trump? It's a whole different ballgame, huh? We all know who he is, but none of us had the pleasure of actually meeting him. Just because you go to church doesn't mean... It may mean that you know who he is, but it might not mean that you know him personally. So if you don't know him personally, it's definitely very difficult to hear his voice when he's trying to give you instructions. You know, the reason why Samuel went to Eli instead of the Lord was because it told us, because he knew not the Lord yet. Don't feel bad. Just get it right. It's the best thing you can do. Some of us, it's not that we know about him and we know him, but we don't know him. You get it? It's one thing to say, hey, brother, my name's Hector. What's your name?
Victor.
Victor. Oh, hey. And I never speak to him again. I know of Victor. I met Victor, but do I know Victor? No. What do I need to do? This is Sunday school, so I'm going to ask. What do I need to know? Do to know Brother Victor? I need a fellowship with him. So what does that mean? I need to spend some time with him. I say, hey, Brother Victor, you know any good places to go eat after church? I think he does. Okay. He's like, go to my house. All right. So then I'll go with him. And then I'll sit with him. And then I'll talk to him. But here's the other thing. But then I'll let him talk to me. See, that's the thing. It's not a marriage conference here, but folks, sometimes we think we're communicating with our partner, with our spouse, but we're just really talking and we're not listening. So we're letting her or them get to know us, but we're not getting to know them. Sometimes we're really, well, brother, I know God. I speak to him every day. Well, that's great. You pray and tell him all your needs. He wants to know all our needs. But when was the last time you got quiet and listened to him? Well, yeah, well, you know. Now you're meddling. But come on, folks. We oftentimes miss out on what he's trying to tell us because all the time we spent with him is telling him all our burdens, which he does want to hear, but we spend no time listening to the instructions that he wants to give us to help us with said burdens. Amen. So, that's a good crowd to preach to, brother. This is good stuff. So we need to not only know about him, we need to know him, and then we need to know him. When we know him, when we spend that time with him, that's when we can he can speak to us and we can understand what it is that he has for us. I'm going to turn this around so I can see it better here. And so we understand our need of salvation. If you are unsaved, please get that taken care of today. And if you are saved, please grow that fellowship with him, intimately with him, that you may be able to recognize when he speaks to you. Folks, who is it easier to believe and trust, someone you just met or someone you've known for a little bit? Hopefully it's the one you've known for a little bit, unless they're a little shady, you know. But it's easier to believe someone that you spent some time with. They've proven themselves. Folks, it's not that God is weak. It's we haven't been with him enough to see or watch him prove himself to us so that when we hear his instruction, we are therefore willing to do what he asks us to do. Why? Because I spent enough time with him to know that if he asks something of me, he will provide what I need to get the job done. But if I have not spent time with him, I'm going to kind of doubt his ability to provide for me. Maybe it's just me. Folks, I find myself the times when I doubt the most are the times when I spent less time with him. But when I'm walking close to him, it's the time when it's a little easier to just trust, even when it doesn't make sense. When things look ugly, when things look scary. Just saying. Now, he wants us to commune with him. He wants us not just to have a religion, he wants us to have a true relationship. In Jeremiah, I'm going to use some people here. Somebody would be willing to read Jeremiah 33:3. Somebody look it up real fast. Somebody else look up Matthew 7:7-8. And then James 4:8. I'm going to get sword drill here going. All right. Whoever has Jeremiah, all right, read it nice and loud. He's saying what? Call unto me. You know why he's saying call unto me? Because he wants to have a relationship with us. He wants us to talk to him. But it doesn't just say call unto me. It says call unto me and I will show you great and mighty things. For him to be able to show us those things, we have to stick around. We hear a message, we get burdened, we come to the altar, and then we take off, and then we forget about it as soon as we hit the highway, 101. We didn't wait around to see what he had for us, the instructions he wanted to give us, and how he wanted to do it through us. Matthew 7:7-8.
Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened.
Okay. Does that sound like someone who wants to avoid us or wants to be with us? It says, if you seek, you will find. He's not playing hide-and-go-seek with us. If we really say, well, I've read the Bible and I haven't heard him. Well, folks, some people are really good at reading. I'll be honest, I am a poor reader, slow reader. But I realize that it's not the speed of the reading that gets it done. It's the intention of the reading. I have a friend whose sisters, they're speed readers, man. They read a book, and I'm still like, page one, okay. But I realized this when he asked one of his sisters, says, hey, you read 10 chapters today. What did you get? So, well, chapter one is short. Chapter two is long. He says, no, what did you get? Didn't you read? I was like, yeah, I read. I read 10 chapters. Did you get anything? Well, no. So why did you read? So I can say I read. But that's not the reason why we should read. We should read to get. I tell our people, folks, I'd rather you read one verse and get something out of it than read one book and get nothing out of it. We need to read to get what he has to tell us. Read with the intention of, Lord, I need you to speak to me. I want to hear your voice. I have called out to you and shared my burdens, but now I need from you to speak to me. And I want to be in tune to what you have to say. In James chapter number 4, verse 8, who has that one? I think we had two people going for Matthew here. 4:8.
Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded.
Folks, do you realize that's a promise? If you draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to you. If you draw closer to me, I will draw closer to you. Because he wants to have that intimate relationship with us. He wants us to be able to hear his voice, recognize his voice, believe his voice, and be willing to obey his voice. But it's hard to recognize the voice of whom you do not know. And it's hard to obey the voice of whom you do not trust. And it's hard to trust in him who you do not spend time with. Just saying. Maybe this is just for me, folks. This is just a reminder to me. But he wants to have that relationship with us. He has given us, as Pastor was saying earlier, his word that is inspired. We need to read it with purpose. We need to study and meditate and memorize it. He has given us sermons, not just to occupy our days, but that we may hear his voice through the messenger. He has given us his word. He has given us the preaching, and he has given us his person of the Holy Spirit indwelling in us, so we can have that communion and that we can understand what he has given to us. He has given us the opportunity to bring our petitions before him, so we can have that communion with him. All that we can know his voice and know him and trust him, so that we can be willing vessels and obedient to him. It says, now how do we verify that it is his voice? You know, nowadays they say, hey man, I can't remember what the term is, but a keyword. There's so many deep fakes now. You want to make sure that it really is the person who they say they have. Maybe this doesn't apply here, but when you live in a country where it's dangerous, you want to have that safe word where you know they really do have you captured, and it is really that loved one. And so you have that word that you say, it just throw it in that phrase, and you know it's them. It's that verification code. You're trying to get in something, I need your verification code. It's like, you just saw me get the account, really? It's like, I need the verification code or I can't do anything. And so sometimes we hear voices, And we're like, well, I'm not sure if it's God. I'm not sure what it is. And so there's some things that help us verify. Okay? There will be consistency if it is truly the Word of God. What I mean by that, if you feel God is speaking to you, what He is speaking to you will be the same that is written in His Word. If what you feel God wants you to do is not what's in the book, then it's not what God wants you to do. If you're wanting to do something that's not in the book, then it's not God speaking to you and saying, it's okay, you can do that. It will be shown, hey, this is okay, this is what I want, it's in the book. Not only will the book give you that consistency to make sure that it is God's word, but He will also confirm through His authority. You know, my wife and I graduated Heartland, we got married, we went to Westgate Baptist Church and worked there in Tampa, Florida, and we were working as teachers and had different ministries that we served under. And then I remember we were in one of the conferences there at the church, and God spoke to our hearts and said, I want you to go to Venezuela. We knew God wanted us to be missionaries, we just didn't know where. And I remember it was January, in December we had signed a contract saying we will teach the following year. Because he needs to know in December so he can start looking for staff if he needs to. And I said, hey, Pastor, after service, we got to talk. I said, I got a problem. He said, what's the problem? He says, Pastor, you know the end game for us is the mission field. We love it here, but we want to be missionaries. And God just made it very clear where we were supposed to be. He said, where? He said, Venezuela. He said, two things. First thing, he said, how are you going to get there? And I'll explain that later. But the second thing is, if God wants you there, then I don't want you here. And at first I was a little hurt. I'm like, Pastor, you're my home pastor. I grew up under your ministry, and I came back and worked for you. And now you're like, I don't want you here? He says, well, it says, Hector, it says, I don't want to prevent you from being where God wants you to be. That was the confirmation that that's where we're supposed to be. Because if not, he would have said, well, son, how about you wait a little while? Or that's good that you know, but let's wait a couple years. And that would have showed me, okay, this is what God wants, but not when God wants it. But by him saying, well, let's get you out of here, that was God saying, hey, it's confirmed by my book because it says go out into all the world. All right? It was confirmed by my pastor. He said, well, I don't want you here. And so when you're hearing God's word, you will know that it is truly God's word when the word tells you and the authority above you confirms it. You will also know because you will have a peace that makes no sense. I remember calling my mom and said, Mom, we know where we need to go. We need to go to Venezuela. My mom about flipped out. She's like, what? Where are you going? She understood the dangers of Venezuela. She understood our family was trying to get out of Venezuela. She didn't know missionaries were leaving the country yet. But she's like, why are you going to go there? I said, Mom, because that's where God wants us to go. And we have peace about it. And she's like, okay, well, then go. Just know what you're getting into. But folks, just God made it very clear, just giving us a certain peace in the midst of all the craziness that we've lived through. Riots in 2014, 17, 19. We missed these last ones a couple months ago, but we've been through it all. You say, what are you doing there? Well, God gives you a certain peace when you're doing what he wants you to do. That's why it's so important to know his word. Amen. So you know, it's like, well, I'm not here because of my emotional feelings and oh, it was a great mission conference and I want to go there. No, it was God's calling. And that's the basis. That's what keeps us there. We're not there because we felt like going. We're there because we knew God had called us there because we clearly heard his voice and we are willing to trust that if he wants us there, he will keep us there, he will protect us there, and if something happens to us there, well, that's on him. But you see how these things will confirm? The book will confirm the voice that you're hearing is his. Your authority will confirm that the voice that you're hearing is his. That peace that you will have will confirm that voice is his. And then when you have all these confirmations, you just have to obey, folks. You have to obey. But oftentimes we don't obey because we either, A, like Samuel, we don't know him yet. Two, we don't have that close of a relationship yet. Or three, we just don't like what he's telling us. I don't know where you're at, but if you're reading, I'm sure he's speaking. But I want to encourage us, when we read, let's really look to see what he wants to tell us. And when we come to church, let's not just come to fill a pew, but come to really hear what he wants to give us, to know him, to trust him, to eventually obey him. Every head bowed, every eye closed, Pastor.
Amen. Thank you for that message, Brother Hector. What a blessing. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you for this great lesson this morning. I pray you'd help us to be sensitive to your call. And with that, Lord, I pray for clear direction today that we would know what you'd have us to do. We ask the question, as Saul did, Lord, what will thou have me to do? And then, Lord, as you direct us, I pray for courage to obey, to trust and obey. We'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.